Have your Bibles open, please, to Isaiah chapter number 59. And as Brother Brad said, God the Holy Spirit orchestrates everything around here. At least that's our desire. And while you're finding your place in Isaiah chapter 59, your great enemy, Satan, and sin. God hates sin. He loves a sinner, but he hates sin. He loves a sinner, but he hates sin. Sin wants to destroy you. Sin wants to ruin you. And God hates it. Sin came into the world by Adam. Adam disobeyed God and sin came into the world. And death passed upon all men in that all have sinned. And sin is an awful thing. Once you get saved, that does not eliminate sin from your personal around you. Satan wants you to sin. Sin dishonors God. Sin robs you of so many things. And here's the passage of Scripture. You saw it illustrated so well a while ago. But look at it, what I'm going to read to you in Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I leave off the reading there for sake of time, but I'll share another verse or two with you out of this chapter. But will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning for the wonderful singing of the choir and the specials this morning. Thank you, our Father, God, for Brother Joe Barry and for Jane. And Lord, thank you for the great number of the choir sang. And God, for the graduates that are here, we are blessed. Lord, thank you for watching over them and blessing them. God, giving them all that they need to get through their phase of education. God, direct their paths. Help them not to trust their own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge you. And Lord, that you'll direct their path. And I ask this morning, God, for your special touch in these moments together as we share, our Father, your word, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Boy, I read that passage of Scripture over and over again. And I got to think of what an awesome statement that is. That something so vile, and most occasions so insignificant and unimportant, can separate you from the God who fashioned this world, so far as your relationship, your fellowship, brother, is concerned. And sin came between you and your Savior. That's what he said of Israel. He said, God's still God. You ought to get that in your heart this morning. God's still God. God has not lost an ounce of his power or one degree of his power from the time that he transformed Adam out of the dust of the earth, breathing his nostril breath of life. He's not changed since he opened the Red Sea. He's not changed since he did all the great miracles of the Old Testament, all the New Testament. He's not changed. God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can still do anything he's ever done. God can still save to the uttermost. God can still sustain. God can still keep. God can still supply. God can do all those things. God's still God. And God's on the throne. And God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ever ask or think. God has not changed. In your life, God hadn't changed. He's still there in his person. He's there because you trusted him as your Savior. He came into your life. He's there. He can do anything. But the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that sin has separated you and God. Now, what is that separation? What is the significance of that separation? What does it mean? I want you to notice a couple of simple statements. Holy Ghost of God wrote the Bible. Aren't you glad that he did? I'm glad he did. He said, sin has separated between your God or you and your God. And just because you've been disobedient does not mean he's not still your God. He's still your Savior. And when a child disobeys a parent, that parent still loves that child and that child is still their child. He's still your God. He's still your Savior. He's still your Father. But he separated us from something. What does it do? What does it do when he separates us from Father? Well, he mentions two things here just quickly. Number one, it is the idea of fellowship. He said, his face. He mentions in this passage of Scripture about his face. Notice, he said, but his iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Hid his face from you. Now watch. I want you to understand something. Sin covers, but it does not cover the face of God. Jesse, come here a minute. Sin separates. But it says what sin does for you is it hides his face. He doesn't hide his face. He sees you. He knows where you are. He knows everything about you. He sees you in your rebellion, sees you in disobedience. But what sin does is it hides his face from you. And it affects you. Thank you, Jesse. You see, God still watches you. He still cares for you. And while you're going your own way, the Holy Spirit of God is grieved and he deals with you, speaks with you. He longs for you as a father longs for a prodigal son. He daily makes intercession for you before the Father. His eyes are still on you. Doesn't mean he's not watching you. It means you can't see him. He's hid his face. And the Bible says in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, that the people of God, if we who are the people of God, if those who are called by his name, if we will turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, we can see him. I mean, he's still looking at us, but the problem is something's come between us and the Savior. It's sin. It's blocked out that kind of fellowship. You can't walk with him, talk with him, enjoy that good, sweet fellowship you did. He's still your father, and he still watches you, and he still cares, and he still loves you. But the problem's on your side of the ledger. It's blinded you to him. You can't see his hand. That fellowship's broken. My dear friend, it doesn't take 6 months for that to happen either. The moment you disobey the Father, the moment you disobey him, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. Now, here's what people try to do. When they're out of fellowship with God, they try to manufacture what they've lost by sin. They try to supplement it. They try to substitute something for it. I don't take time to read all the passages down here, but he says, it's hid my face from you. And he says, your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers are full of iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue muttered perverse things. But look at verse 5. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave spider webs, that he that eateth their eggs die, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hand. Now listen, he said they've tried to cover up their sin. You can't cover up your sin. You can't hide it from God, and you can't hide it from those who have any spiritual discernment around you. And what it does, he said, you tried to cover up with a spider web. Now, can you imagine anything more creepy than that? I mean, try to cover up with a spider web. Because you see, a spider web is not for covering. It's for capturing. That beautiful spider web you see, woven so beautiful, such great design and architecture in it. It's not created for covering. It's created for capture. And sin, while it is beautiful and alluring, is not to cover you. It is to capture you. It's to create all kind of havoc in your life. My dear friend, listen. I was reading an article this week several years ago in Los Angeles, California. There was a man who called himself the human fly. He broadcast and had advertised that he was going to climb the highest building in Los Angeles with no ropes, no strings, nothing. And he began to, people gathered early before he ever got there, and as he was there, and they marveled as he could scale that building on the outside from one ledge to another, one ledge to another. But they watched in horror as he reached almost to the pinnacle, and he reached and grabbed what he thought was an old brick. And when he grabbed, he plummeted to his death. And clasped in his hand, laying in a broken body on that pavement, was a handful of spider webs. It had woven between two bricks, and it looked like brick to him. But when he grabbed it, it cost him his life. And my dear friend, that's exactly what sin will do to you. You grab it and you think it's beautiful and you think it'll help you, but it'll ruin your life. Sin separated between you and your God. And my dear friend, listen, he said it breaks that fellowship. You can't no longer fellowship with him. But notice something else he said it did in this passage of Scripture. He said, but your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins hath hid his face from you that he will not hear. David said in Psalms, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. Here's the thing. You and I who have, if you disobey the Lord and you have sin in your life, it hinders your prayer life. And I'm going to tell you something. He is all your source. He's not part of your source. He's all of your source. He's everything. He said, call upon me and I'll answer thee and show thee great mighty thing. He said, but without me, you could do nothing. But when you disobey Christ, you've got out of fellowship with him. You lose that fellowship. You lose that see in his face. It also wrecks your prayer life. Now you think, well, that's, you know, I could live without that. But can your children live without that? Can your grandchildren live without that? I preached on a little thought at Mother's Day, just real briefly. It was bigger in my heart than it was when it came out of my mouth. But for the prayers of a mother, many of us would be in hell today, but for the prayers of our mother. My dear friend, what you're saying is when you have disobeyed Christ and you've got something in your heart, life ought not to be there, it wrecks your prayer life. You don't have any communication. When I was pastoring down in Florida in the latter days of the Vietnam War, I had a young lady to come running to the altar. And that Sunday morning, boy, she broke and wept and cried and wept and cried. Her name was Vicki Freimeyer. Her husband was in the military. And that morning she said, preacher, I got to say something. And she said, this week I was trying to pray for my husband. And she said, God put his finger on something in my life. And she said, I want to make sure there's not a thing between my soul and the Savior. I want to make sure there's not anything wrong with me because my husband's very life may depend on my prayers. My dear friend, your prayer life is wrecked and ruined when you let sin get in your life. So far as your personal needs concerned, so far as healing and supply and the needs of your family and your friends, oh, my dear friend, don't let sin break that chain of prayer. You need to have that channel open all the time to where you can get a hold of God and reach God. Oh, listen, separated from him, not only does it affect the face, the fellowship of God, not only does it affect our prayer life with God, but it breaks our union with him so far as all his blessings are concerned. God's going to take care of his children. But there's so many things that you're robbed from. Sin will rob you of all those things. But now what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? The Lord looked at him. I won't have time to deal with this whole chapter. Look at chapter 59. He says, verse number 12, for your transgressions are multiplied before thee and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us and as for our iniquities, we know them. They're all around. They're obvious to us. He said in verse 15, yea, truth fail. And then he looks down and he says in verse number 16, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him and his righteousness is sustained. It sustained him. Look down, if you will, please, at verse number 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Here's what he said. He said there's no way he can get out. You saw the physical illustration a while ago. Sin separates between you and your God. When you're lost, you can't do a good enough job. You can't do good deeds and go to heaven. There's only one hope. That's a Savior. That's a Redeemer. And the Lord looked and he said there was nobody. There was no man. There was no intercessor. There's nobody cared about souls. And so what he did, he took on a human body, clothed in a human body, died on that cross. It was him. And suffered and bled and died that we might have life. Now, please understand this. He did that for every person. There was a man in the Bible that was laid by the pool, lame, couldn't get up, couldn't walk. The Lord came by and said, wilt thou be made whole? And he said, I have no man when the water's troubled that I could get in. Somebody else gets always in before me. And the Lord says to him, take up your bed and walk. Now watch this. It's a simple little story, and I'm through. Here's a man who's helpless in his state. That's just like a sinner. Helpless, alienated from God. And you who are Christians, if you got out of fellowship with God, you really can't get your life straightened out. I have people tell me all the time, get out of church, and or they're not in church somewhere, and I say, come on over and visit with us at Benson Grove. Come on, get it. We'd love to have you. Or we miss you at church. Come on back. Well, preacher, I got a lot of things in my life I got to get straightened out. You can't ever get straightened out because the devil's going to be kept. There's one after another, one after another, one after another, one after another. He's going to make sure of that. But the Lord looked around and he said, wouldn't anybody help them but me? I was the only one who could do it. And so he said, he came to them and with his own strong hand delivered them. Now look, when you come to know Christ as your Savior, there's some things you need to confess. Number one, this man confessed his need. I'm lame, I got to have a need. And as long as you don't understand you got a problem, you can't get any help. But when you understand you've got a problem, you can get help. And then not only confess his need, but he confessed his inability. He said, I can't get in by myself. I can't get in by myself. He confessed he couldn't do it. But he also confessed that nobody else could do it for him. He had nobody else could help him. Nobody else could deliver him. Nobody else could do that. But he responded in faith. And the Lord said, take up thy bed. And when that man moved in faith, he got up and he took up his bed and he left. My dear friend, here's what he said. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That invitation is there for everybody. Whosoever will may come. Let him come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And that coming is a coming of faith. By faith you come. If you're a Christian and you're out of fellowship with him, you want to get back in fellowship, you say, well, Brother Billy, there's too much water over the bridge, over the dam, and all those things. No, he said, if you'll come to me, if you confess your sins, he's faithful just forgive you. If you'll by faith say, Lord, I want to get back in fellowship with you. I want to be where I used to be. I want to get this thing out of my life that is separated between you and me. I want to have fellowship. I want to look at you face to face. I want to be able to fellowship with you. I want my prayer life to be effective. I want to have the blessings of God in my life once again. It's a step of faith. He said, those of you who know the Lord, if you'll confess your sin, he's faithful just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's a step of faith. But for those who don't know Christ, it's a step of faith too. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? I've never known a person who got saved that didn't want to get saved. How many of you in here got saved? Raise your hand. You know that you're going to heaven. Now hold your hands up. How many of you wanted to be saved? Absolutely. Thank you. You know what? You know who he saves? He'll save anybody who wants to be saved. That's why he came. He came to seek and to save whosoever will. But you've got to respond in faith. And he said the deliverer and the redeemer is coming. And he'll deliver. If you'll call on him, he'll save you. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? With every head bowed and eye closed this morning. Sin separate. What an awful thing. Those of you who are right with the Lord, I know you just shudder at this thought. I mean, you know him, you've been walking with him, you fellowship with him, your prayer life is a sweet time, the Word of God is real to you, and you just love to fellowship with the Lord. Can you think of anything in the world that you let come between you and your God? You don't purpose to do that. Those of you who are in here this morning and you know the Lord, he is your Father. You've been saved, but you know you're not where you ought to be. Something's come between you and the Savior. Something in your heart and life ought not to be there. He wants it out. He sees you and he loves you and he longs for you to be back in fellowship with him. He didn't move, you did. He's not blinded, you are. But if by faith you'll just say, Lord, thank you for saving me. And I'm glad I'm your child. But God, I've failed. I've sinned. God, please forgive me and purge me and cleanse me. God, restore in me a right spirit. Return to me the joy of my salvation. My dear friend, he'll do that for you. And some of you, my dear friend, who've never been saved, right now, this very moment, would you right now be willing to accept what He's got for you. To be separated from God for all eternity in a place called hell is a horrible thing. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And right now, if you would turn from your transgressions and turn to the Savior, turn from your sin and turn to the Savior, and in simple faith believe on Him, He'll save you this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for this whole service from beginning to now. And our Father, You have orchestrated all of the music, all of the songs, our Father, the drama, everything, the Word of God, to illustrate our Father that God, there's a joy, there's a happiness for those who are right with You, but there's a brokenness and a sadness for those who are not right with You. And God, I pray right now that God, if there's a person here who's a Christian, but they've let something get in their heart and life that ought not to be there, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now, deal with them. Help them, our Father, come quickly down this altar and just get before You and talk to You as child or father and confess it. And God, I pray that You do what You said You'd do, that You'd cleanse them from every unrighteousness, from every clean them up, and God, give them joy of the Lord in the heart. And God, if there's a lost person here this morning, I pray that in simple faith this morning they'd come and say, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Lord Jesus, You died for me. Come in my heart and save me. God, I pray they do that. While we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed, I ask you to stand for just a moment, please. I wouldn't trade a thing for my salvation. I don't know one thing I want to trade for my salvation. I don't know one thing that I would trade for my fellowship with the Lord. There have been times that the enemy slipped in and I felt so stupid. I mean, I did. I felt like, why in the world? What kind of trade was that for the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit of God, for power and prayer, for the anointing of God to preach and to witness? And God, please forgive me, purge me, and cleanse me.